Dr. Paul Lawrence, author, Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve, is my guest today. How are you doing, Dr. Lawrence?
Hey, really good. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me and caring about our veterans.
Absolutely. And you're the perfect person to start this discussion. We're going to be talking for about a half hour here and going to be full of interesting information for vets and our listening audience. I want to start first and frame the discussion around homeless vets. And you've talked personally with thousands of veterans attending virtual town halls during the COVID-19 presentation, which you spoke virtually to vets who needed access to health benefits. Speak to your conversation with vets and the feedback you received and how the message about benefits are or are not getting to homeless vets, and discuss why not.
Yeah, it's really frustrating to see homeless veterans, right? It's just really, really frustrating. It affects everybody. So I have a couple thoughts. There are resources available for homeless veterans. And so the real challenge is to connect them with the VA. So when homeless veterans would talk to me, I say, you must go into the VA and get assistance. There's benefits specifically designed for veterans who's, you know, are disadvantaged, their resources are slim, to get help. VA has special programs for veterans and their families who are homeless, and they even have benefits for folks who are on the cusp of homeless so you can prevent it. So, for example, your buddy's sleeping on the couch, lost his job, you know is en route to being homeless. VA can help them. But here's a phone number I want to share with you and your listeners. This is the VA homeless hotline, and I'll say it twice. It's 877-424-3838. 877-424-3838. If you call that and you see someone's who's homeless, again, someone on the street with a sign, you know of someone who could potentially be homeless, or you can give this to a homeless person and have them call. VA will connect with them, see if they are in fact a veteran, and provide resources. So I guess the real takeaway is we've got to connect them with the VA, which has the resources to help homeless veterans and their families.
So you're saying that any person can do this, or any public citizen, or does it have to be a relative of a vet?
Nope. Anybody can call and say, listen, you know, this is the classic example. I'm at the corner of 123 and Main Street. Person sitting there with the sign says, I am a homeless veteran. Call and say, this is where they are. Please come help them. They're supposed to come and find them and see if they are a veteran and try to get them help.
So you're a former undersecretary for benefits in the Department of Veterans Affairs. So this is really personal and it cuts really deep, I presume, to you in that role. How is the VA actively pursuing getting the message to these vets? Your book is a great source, but are there other ways, PR outreach programs that the VA is doing to get the message to these individuals?
Yes. Well, the VA spends an awful lot of money communicating about its programs to the public, right, to veterans. You often see radio and TV ads. I think they even had an ad during the Super Bowl, for example. There's a lot of social media, right, posts on social media and the like. And there's a lot of information that's printed out. But the real challenge is getting it to veterans. Some veterans isolate. They don't want to be part of things. I mean, it's very hard to communicate with veterans who live in Alaska, who live in the mountains of Montana. So part of it is there's a lot of information spent, but also part of it is just sort of telling veterans who you know in your circle, in your, you know, your family, your extended family, and letting them know there are benefits that veterans have earned. Many folks who, in fact, serve in the military have this urban legend like, oh, my buddy told me I'm not a veteran, so I've never checked. So it's really on all of us to communicate to veterans and say, oh, have you got your benefits? Do you realize VA is there potentially to help you? So please check it out.
So I want to talk about each of those, some programs. Disability compensation, discuss that.
Sure. One of the most powerful benefits for veterans is what's called disability compensation. If you've been injured or hurt while in service, you can receive a tax-free monetary payment to deal with expenses or also for what's called foregone wages. Hey, I can't work like I once could. And this is a benefit that a lot of veterans use. They get hurt while serving. And it's not just in combat. During training, during things while you're in the service. So if you can demonstrate something happened to me while I was in service that affects the quality of my life going forward, you can receive disability compensation. It does take a little bit of homework in terms of filling out forms and having the right information to demonstrate that you are affected, but this is something that a lot of veterans experience because of the way the life is in the service. It can be demanding and hard. And again, disability compensation is there to deal with that.
So would vets or former vets call that earlier number you provided, or would it be a different number?
Oh, it's a different number. So you can apply for disability compensation in several ways. You can go online at va.gov, right, and fill out the forms, search under benefits and fill out the forms. You can call a number. It's a different number. It's 800-827-1000. And there you can deal with the benefits people, and they'll help you fill out the forms. But one of the things I strongly advocate is veterans get a veteran service officer to help them. A veteran service officer is someone who's been trained in the VA's processes and has often had, if they're accredited, a background check. And they'll help veterans at no cost fill out the paperwork and apply for disability compensation. You can get a veteran service officer from a veteran service organization like the American Legion or Wounded Warrior Project or VFW or DAV, Disabled American Veterans. You can also get them from your state Department of Veterans Affairs. So the California Department of Veterans Affairs, in your case, has service officers, and many states have county service officers. So these forms can be difficult and tedious. I really recommend you get a service officer to help you.
Well, let's talk now about home loan guarantee. Talk a bit about that.
Sure. One of the most powerful benefits you can get as a veteran who serves honorably is the ability to purchase a home with no money down. The formal term is what you just said, the home loan guarantee. Basically, VA guarantees the down payment, which makes it the ability to get a loan very easy. So basically, while civilians are saving for a down payment to purchase a home, right? Imagine purchasing a home for $500,000. I know that's kind of laughable in the San Francisco area, but let's use that as an example. You might have to come up with 10% down. So in that example, it'd be $50,000. You'd have to save for years if you're a civilian. But if you served in the military honorably, you can purchase a home with no money down. So you'll get a home much faster than your civilian counterpart. You won't pay what's called private mortgage insurance, so you don't have to put that in your monthly payment. And you generally will get a slightly lower interest rate. So a home is one of the best ways veterans and all Americans, but veterans in particular, can create wealth. So this is really helps them be homeowners. And a lot of veterans use the equity in their home to start their own business. So it has other very positive effects.
So now I want to talk about the educational part of it, the GI Bill. Talk a bit about that.
Right. Well, you remember the GI Bill. It goes back to 1944. We win the war. All these veterans return. They can go to college for free. And essentially, at that time, about 10% of our country had gone to college. So this was a huge thing to get folks to go to college. Well, that still exists. You serve 3 years honorably. You can go to school and essentially get the equivalent of a free ride at a state university. In addition, not only do you have tuition and fees paid for, but you get a monthly housing allowance and the like. So a lot of folks continue to use the education benefit of the GI Bill to go to college. Many veterans are the first members in their family to go to college. But what's interesting over time is a lot of folks have gone to college, some before they've gone to the military, you know, some afterwards, and they say, hey, what else can the GI Bill offer me? Well, now you can use it for things like getting credentials or certificates that demonstrate you have some proficiency in a subject, like project management or like cybersecurity. And this can help you in your career without going to 4 years of additional schooling. So it's a really great benefit. It offers apprenticeships. And if you're into the trades, you know, I want to be an engineer, I want to be a truck driver, I want to be an electrician or work with HVAC, you can use your GI Bill for that too. And those are, you know, a fast path to $100,000 a year jobs.
I saw something interesting. It dealt with disabled vets, and that's a $6,800 available stipend for improvements for handicapped vets. Can you talk a bit about that?
Oh, sure. So if you purchase a home, well, if you're a veteran who's service connected, that's called has a disability, as you would say, there are programs where you can get a grant to have VA adapt your house to your disability. So for example, let's say you're in your wheelchair. Obviously you need ramps, you need bathrooms configured certain ways, you need things like that done. There's a grant called Specially Adapted Housing. If you're less disabled, it can be used for things like technology and the like. So it's really designed to make sure that a veteran who is disabled, service connected, can live in a home that is suited for their conditions.
Well, this is all very good and useful information that you're disseminating, and I'm sure our listeners out there will pass it on accordingly. I want to talk and have you talk about health and medical assistance, mental health services, and caregiving support that may be available for our vets.
Sure. A lot of it has to do with the type of situation you're in. So obviously, if you've been injured, VA offers health care for you. And the range of health care that is available to you depends upon your injury. So if you've been greatly injured or disabled, VA offers more care. If you're less and not, they offer you care, but you might have to pay. So let's kind of start with that. But more importantly, I think, let's get to mental health care. Regardless of your situation, regardless of your discharge, if you think you need mental health attention, we always encourage veterans to come to the VA, at least to start, to figure out what's available. So again, folks with dishonorable discharges, folks with discharges that were not honorable, come to the VA if you think you have mental health issues, because we really need to get those folks' attention as soon as we can. It's don't want to get them into crisis. We want to get them before they end up calling the crisis hotline. Caregivers is another thing that came about very recently, which has to do with the fact that our veterans, when they are injured and have trouble taking care of themselves, often draw on a family member to provide care. And often the family member ends up not being able to work because they are so busy providing care for the veteran. The caregiver program provides a small payment. I think it's somewhere in the order between $30,000 and $40,000 a year to the caregiver to enable them to continue to exist because they can't work while they're giving care. So if any of your listeners are in any of those situations, I urge them to go to the VA and find out what's available. And again, service officers can help not only with your benefits and the forms, but they can also help you with your health care as well.
So I'd like to just get your feelings on, or your personal feelings on, why did you put this book together? It's obviously very, very useful to vets. Was there not this type of collection of information available? Why did you write your book?
Sure. Well, one of the things you pointed out into the introduction was during the pandemic in 2020, I conducted telephone town halls with veterans in part to tell them, which facilities were open. But eventually I started answering questions about their benefits. And I did this for an hour every night during the pandemic. I did 110 of these. And through the miracle of, phones, you could get literally 50,000 veterans on the phone, 100,000 veterans on the phone, listening to the questions they would pose. And so what I observed was a lot of the questions were the same that I dealt with. So certainly I thought, just like you said, when I got out of public service, well, there must be a book out there that explains the benefits to everybody in a way they can understand and has all the benefits in one book. And so I searched around and come to find out there really wasn't. There were books written by lawyers, and we all love lawyers, but they write in such a hard way to understand if you're not a lawyer. The other thing was a lot of books had the different benefits, but they didn't have all the benefits. And so I said, I think there's an opportunity to provide information that's easy to read and understand, right? You don't have to be highly educated to understand what these benefits are, explain how you apply for them, and then put all the benefits in one book. So that's what I set out to do. And the biggest compliments I get from people who have seen my book are exactly that. I could understand this and explain it. Now I finally know. And you know what? It's all here in one book, and it has appendices that explains how I can get help at no cost. So I really wanted to address a need. And I just thought the material out there, quite frankly, came up short. And I think it wasn't a unique experience because I had the chance to talk to veterans and field their questions directly. And I heard it over and over again. So I said, I got to do something to meet this need.
Do you feel in some way that vets are invisible, so to speak, in terms of how the public sees or don't see a veteran, because I've been in places and I have seen vets, and they are very proud, as you have pointed out, but it's just, it seems as though the public is oblivious to their plight, their service, and their dignity that they deserve as warriors. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. Veterans as a group, and of course, generalizations are always difficult, but veterans as a group are humble. So you generally don't see veterans talking a lot about stuff they did before. So in that sense, you know, there's not a lot of information being offered that helps people fill that in their thinking. Ironically, they would ask women veterans, you know, do you identify with as a veteran? A lot of women wouldn't put that down. So they would sort of self-select not to say they are veterans. And so that had a little bit to do with the invisible thing you're describing. And the other thing, too, is the perception of veterans by what you hear can be sometimes what we call the broken veteran narrative. All you hear about is something that went horribly wrong. When you see the advertisements on TV for charities, what do? See, you see a veteran in a wheelchair or a veteran who's been harmed in service, right? What happens when you see a disabled veteran license plate? You get the impression that, oh, they're all broken. And nothing could be further from the truth. They get jobs at higher rates. They become great employees and the like. But they're not a group of people who basically will run around, you know, pumping their own lore, talking about stuff and reminding everybody. So yeah, it's a little unfortunate, but I think conversations like this, quite frankly, help people understand, no, this is a special group of people. And don't forget, for honorable service, there's a whole set of benefits that the American public through Congress have provided for them. So again, it is a special group.
Well, just taking a snapshot, a couple of examples, we and businesses that I've worked in, we've hired vets. And they're some of the most trustworthy, most professional, most reliable workers. Talk a bit about the dependability, the excellence that vets provide businesses that hire them.
Well, what you've experienced is exactly what all the surveys show, right? Veterans have a unique set of qualities, in part based on their experience and part based on who they are. They're loyal. They can deal with ambiguity. They show up on time. And perhaps most importantly, they're mission focused. Often they will not go home at quitting time if they have something to do. It's just how they are. Sadly, in businesses, again, they're quiet. They don't run around telling everybody what they've done. So sometimes they get overlooked. But the surveys consistently show veterans do really well in business. The top employees are often veterans. And they're great hires, which is why so many companies are trying to hire veterans, are trying real hard to be veteran and military friendly and let veterans know this is the place you want to come and have a career.
So let's talk a bit more about you and author of this, your book, Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve. And at the emphasis, you were talking about vets out there, families of vets, how are they making the return home more like a homely type of environment for veterans who are returning from war?
Yeah, well, a couple things. You know, I think it's very important that the families understand what the veterans gone during their experience while in the military. So you can't learn everything, but you can appreciate what they've experienced and be aware that it might be very different. They've been exposed to a range of things, and there's lots of material and a lot of support systems to draw on. So I wouldn't just say, oh, it was just another day in the office, because it might not be. That's very important. Conversely, it's very important that veterans tell their families about their benefits. So if something happens to a veteran because of their service, family members can get benefits, right? If you pass because of something that happened to you in service, perhaps you were exposed to a toxin like Agent Orange back in the day, and if you should pass because of the cancers you got from that, your family would get benefits. It's important that they know about this. So if something happens, not only are they grieving, but you don't want them dealing with the bureaucracy. So it's really a two-way conversation about, you know, what are you doing? How can we help, says the family. And the veteran should say, here's the situation I'm in. This is, if something does happen to me, here's how the VA and all these benefits will be available to you.
Post-traumatic PSD. Talk a bit about that and the challenge associated with that, and really how veteran and the VA has been or is dealing with that.
Yeah, PTS is post-traumatic stress, and we often sort of think, well, that's combat, and it may very well be, but it's something that caused trauma. And it's a range of things, and there's official definitions, but you see people who have been engaged in sexual assault, that causes trauma. They've had people threaten them, that causes trauma. So it exists everywhere, sadly, but in the military, there's many more opportunities. And it sets in motion a whole series of things that folks encounter. Perhaps you've seen one of these old movies where, you know, someone's been exposed to loud noises or combat, and they say, shake out of it, and they slap them. Well, nobody knew back in the day, but that's PTS, right? We didn't know about this till it officially became sort of a disease or a contention or an issue till like 1980, I think. So basically you have people, you know, reliving an experience, having trouble sleeping, having anxiety, not being themselves to their friends. So it's very, very important we recognize it and we not just go, oh yeah, it's a bad day, when we get folks' attention. So it's really important. There's a lot of ways to treat it. There's a lot of folks who kind of can live with it. There's a lot of folks who grow afterwards. So it's not the end of the world, but it is something very serious. And if you have folks who are suffering for a range of things that you think might be related to PTS, do get them to the VA for some assistance.
And the VA is certainly wearing quite a few hats in terms of reaching out to vets on all levels there. Employment opportunities beyond some of the professions, veterans and leadership. I always like to, when we hire veterans, to put them in leadership role. Talk about the leadership skills. I know we touched on it a little bit, but the leadership skills that vets bring to an organization.
Yeah, this is a really good point. I think people tend to forget that veterans have been in situations where they've been part of teams and they've also been leaders of teams, big and small teams. So they really do understand the leadership component of life. And of course, when you get in a work environment, often, you know, many civilians haven't had those experiences about, you know, what's a leader look like? What do you do? This could be my first time in leadership positions. And organizations struggle without the right number of leaders. I remember a great CEO one time, they were asking, how comes your company so good? And he said, we have more leaders at every level than our competition. So the value of leadership isn't to be understated. It's a hallmark of what goes on in the military. And so, yeah, I would definitely think about, you know, when you hire veterans, don't forget you're getting great skills, you're getting great experiences, but you're also getting people who are willing to lead. You know, they'll be asked to lead, they'll step up on their own, and they really can make a difference for your business.
And they also are very comfortable working in diverse environments because the military is very diverse organizational structure. Talk a bit about that important attribute as a leader in a successful organization, understanding the importance of diversity.
Yeah, you know, I just didn't know what it was until later. People had a funny name for it, diversity or official name for it, right? I worked with so many different people now in retrospect. They were different colors, different sexes, from different parts of the country, with different backgrounds than mine. It was so different, but yet the common mission and the way we work together seems seamless. And later you look back and say, how is that possible? And you realize everybody was mission focused. Everybody understood what had to be done. And so having those experiences, I think, plays your way out in life, right? Who you deal with later, how you work and the like. And of course, now we know more and more diversity and inclusivity are very valuable traits in the corporate setting. And, you know, it isn't just the color of your skin or whatever. It's also the way of thinking, right? Having diverse opinions on your team informs you better on key decisions and the like. So, again, because you worked in the military for people from different parts of the world who thought about different things, I'm sure you got different opinions and ideas and saw differences that informed your thinking. So, yeah, it's a really valuable trait. It's because you're in the military, you have these experiences, and it'll benefit, you know, employers, the person, organizations later.
I'm going to ask you a rather unfair question, but I think you'll be able to handle it. Your book, Veterans Benefits for You, get what you deserve. Name me a proud or proudest moment as a result of writing this book.
Oh, sure. That's easy. People have told me they've given this book to an older veteran in their life, right? Either like an uncle, because again, given how the demographic of service worked out, or someone in their neighborhood who really had been disconnected from their veteran experience, perhaps a Vietnam veteran or just somebody getting older who served, you know, in and around the 50s or 60s. And it was able to help them realize, hey, I am a veteran. I have benefits. I now understand how to get them, and I can see a path to reconnecting with the veteran community. So the ease and the access of the information, sort of bringing these people back into the fold in a good, and again, reminding them that these are things they've earned. These are not entitlements. These are things they've earned. And stepping forward and saying, I'd like to get some of those, is really an okay thing.
My guest today has been Dr. Paul Lawrence, author, Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve. Dr. Lawrence, thank you for your candid comments and discussion and a great book. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thank you so much. And thanks for great questions.
You take good care. We'll hopefully talk again.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network. Thank you.